Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 697, AI, the wonderful golden retriever. We've got some AI resources, we've got some jokes, we've got some other wonderful things for your classroom this week. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm waiting for a delivery. I have to sign for a delivery.
I didn't even know you knew sign language.
I don't, so that's going to make it fun. Fun fact.
Yeah?
My usual, because this is coming through FedEx, and had I been here yesterday, which right. I was not because I was working, busily working, I may add. Mm-hmm. My delivery driver's name, you want to guess the name of my delivery driver?
Bob, oh no, Abdul. Abdul Akum Karim Sharif III.
No, Troy.
Oh, I like it.
I do not know very many Troys, and I was looking forward. I was hoping, because I wasn't here to sign for it yesterday, I was hoping that Troy would be delivering it today, and I could meet Troy and say, hi, nice to meet another Troy. But alas, Trent is delivering today.
Oh, I was going to say, if he's coming back, that would mean Troy's again.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I'm waiting for that. Turns out, apparently, if you buy a used camera lens, then you may have to sign for it.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
I could see that.
Yeah. Hey, quick question for you.
Quick answer, yeah.
Darth Vader, does he wear deodorant?
Oh, good question. Nobody ever gets that close.
Yoder.
Yeah.
Deoda. Yeah. Chicken and an egg walk into an ice cream shop. Server says, who's first?
Ooh, I wonder how they answer.
Yeah, that one's kind of iffy.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Oh, my subscription to the Scrabble Club expired. Apparently, I didn't pay the bill. Yeah, now they're sending me threatening letters.
That could make the game fun.
How does the Pope pay for things on eBay?
Oh, I don't know.
He uses his PayPal account.
I got you. I got you. Yep. Yep. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That one is you need to see PayPal as well.
Yep.
That helps us. You there. Pythagoras walked into an ice cream shop and said, which one is the hypotenuse? The server says, why? The long face.
Yeah. Math people are going to like that one. Ron King will like that one.
Yeah, like, you know, I throw in a few mathy kind of things for folks. The other day I dreamed I was managing the Midas muffler shop.
Really?
Yeah, I woke up exhausted.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I thought everything was going to turn to gold here in a second.
Yeah, that's the other way that can go, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you are what you eat, Frank must be eating a lot of nuts lately.
Uh-huh. And I have his kids.
Yeah, I can see where you could use that one with kids, too.
Hey,
you're eating a lot of pecans, eating a lot of almonds, eating a lot of peanuts lately. Why, Mr. McGurr? How many Kit Kats can a blues musician eat in one sitting?
Oh, there should be an owl sitting in a tree with a lollipop. I don't know. How many?
12 bars.
Oh, there you go.
There's a music joke for you.
Yep.
Did you hear that Boy George's reptile bites 5 people in a day?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he needs a calmer chameleon.
Oh.
Calmer chameleon. Okay. I got a visual joke got a visual joke for you. Another one for the music teachers there. Got a visual joke for you over at middleschoolmatters.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you like this one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I did too. I have to admit that I was in the middle of something else when I saw this one, and I was like, huh? And I'm like, oh. Oh, I get it. Okay. Apparently, Dave Bidlowski and I are kind of on the same thought channel here because I'm doing some videos for work, like explaining AI and what AI is, how to use it, and all that good stuff. And so are the tech integrators as well. My next one is on EduGems.
Hmm.
And Dave Bidlowski has a wonderful section on EduGems, and I think it's a really great introduction, and especially for science teachers and using all teachers can use EduGems by Eric Kurtz. But Dave does a good job, really good job explaining them and how it is you can use them, where you can find them. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski in the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the National Science Teaching Association blog entitled From Chalkboards to AI, written by Christine Ann Royce and Valerie Bennett. And they wrote a blog entitled Discovering AI Gems. And they wrote that while an artificial intelligence or AI user can enter any potential query, the reality is that AI doesn't always deliver the expected outcome. The reason could be the language, the context, or simply a mismatch between your terminology and what the large language model has been trained to use. It would be wonderful if there were specialized AI assistants that would be more on target when answering a query. Well, we're in luck. They are called Google Gems. Google Gems are custom versions of Gemini that act as specialized AI assistants. For example, Gems can serve as thought partners that remember your specific instructional frameworks, grade levels, and pedagogical goals so you don't have to retype them every time. But the question has been, where do I find these gems? The author had been thinking mostly about gems as something teachers build themselves, and that raised the new question. If teachers can build them, what already exists? Are there examples where someone else has already done the design work? In researching the topic, the author ran across edugems.ai, a site featuring gems that was developed, curated, and shared by Eric Kurtz. That's edugems.ai. But how might a teacher start curating different gems that serve different purposes for their classroom? The author reached out to Eric Kurtz, and Eric said that gems are an easy way to create, use, and share powerful Gemini prompts to help educators and students. And this can be a great way to assist people in using AI for helpful tasks. Additionally, gems allow you to add up to 10 reference files to the gem to provide it with grounding materials to pull from, such as standards, curriculum guides, and more. Schools can create and share collections of high-quality gems that align to their vetted materials. Another benefit of gems is that Google provides free, unlimited use of Gemini for everyone, so the gems can be used as much as needed. Educators get an additional benefit of having built-in data privacy protection when using Gemini with a school account. Gems can include targeted materials, allowing teachers or districts to personalize the output. Eric Kurtz added that teachers can easily copy gems from his EduGems website and can also use a sport gem called EduGem Generator, which he developed to help them create their own gems. By using gems as design partners, educators aren't replacing the teacher. Instead, they are amplifying the human part of teaching. They are offloading the administrative side of lesson planning, the formatting, the standards alignment, the search for analogies, to focus on the relational side, such as being present in the lab, sparking curiosity, and helping that one student who finally has an aha moment. Once again, the website to visit is edugems.ai. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
We've talked about EduGems before. Are you currently using any of the EduGems? Or?
So I have kind of migrated away from EduGems and writing gems for the moment for a couple of reasons. One, our account got downgraded, and so I burned through my limit of anything on Google Gemini so fast. It's just not functional anymore. I write just one or two prompts, and the next thing you know, you're out. It's like, ah, oh, come on.
That's interesting because I used Google Gemini on my personal account, which I don't have any extra anything with, right? The work account, I have like the pro version. Right. But my personal account, I have not hit a limit, and I've used it like not as much as you have, which we'll explain shortly. but I was surprised because I thought I had in the past kind of reached a limit, but I've been doing some troubleshooting with it. By the way, sometimes it is utterly and completely wrong, but it looks like it might be right if you don't know what you're doing. So, yeah, because I was doing some things in Moodle, doing some things in WordPress, and the answer it gave me, I'm like, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But I've been surprised because I haven't hit the, oh, you're done for today. It'll reset in 12 hours or whatever it is. So anyway, you're not using gems, and your district didn't pay for Workspace, probably.
Well, that's the thing. I thought they did. They told us that they did. So I don't know why I'm getting the message that I'm out of. The other thing is that the other reason I stopped using it is because it doesn't write to a file. So for example, I'm in the process of writing some curriculum, and I want some question banks in a certain way based off of a certain text. It's an open source textbook.
Okay.
And if I do this in ChatGPT, it will create everything I want and push it to an XML file or to a GIFT file. And all I do is click download, click upload, I'm done. But with Google Gemini...
That's interesting, because you can put it in a Google Doc, right?
No, it won't let me do it in a Google Doc either. That's the other thing that makes me think there's something wrong.
Yeah, you don't have the right version, because in Google Gemini... if you go to, let me get there. If you go to tools, there's, and this is, I'm on my personal one too. There's one called Canvas. So they have create image, Canvas, deep research, create music, and guided learning. And they now have personal intelligence. And Canvas is the one that will create a Google Doc right on the page, and it'll put it right in the Google Doc for you.
Well, what I need are either plain text files or XML files.
Yeah, so the plain text files would work because you can download them as TXT files, right?
Well, what its solution for me was, and its suggestion was to copy, put it into BBEdit, save from BBEdit, launch into Moodle, upload to Moodle.
Yeah,
and I thought, let's see, four steps or one step. Yeah, I think I know the winner here.
Yeah.
So it's been easier. Okay. That, and it's been easier to generate some images. I know Nana Banana works really, really well. I've been using ChatGPT's internal image generator, and it does it what I want to. It's been working just fine. So I've not really been, I've kind of migrated away from Gemini. That being said, Gemini might be the direction in the future because ChatGPT is experiencing financial chaos. Claude's experiencing some financial chaos, although I'm not a subscriber for Claude. And so it may be that we end up, as educators, we may end up being tied more and more to Google Gemini than anything else.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now, that being said, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No. I mean, because we already have the subscription to Google, and Google is privacy protectant.
Right.
Then we can use Gemini. Because we're not paying for chat. If we paid for ChatGPT, it would also be COPPA compliant. But because we're not paying for it, it's not COPPA compliant.
Correct. And I should put a caveat in here. Everything that I'm doing, nothing of it has student data in it. I'm doing strictly content generation.
So you are using AI for a lot of curriculum stuff.
Yeah. I'm currently banging out some curriculum.
And
banging out is the right word.
And so part of this is the curriculum that you're sharing. You asked me, because you sent me some files, right, that are
six.
Interesting.
I sent six files.
Several files that are based on a scenario-based learning where the kids are taking on certain roles and doing certain things. And you said to me in pre-show, how long do you think this took? And I thought I was being super smart here because I had paid attention to earlier in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
You had said you spent 45 minutes. And I was like, that's awesome. And then you asked me a question. So I confidently, I tell you, answered 45 minutes, which was wrong.
Yeah, because that was just the conversation we had, the actual build.
And the actual build took how long?
5 hours. But so, we should go back and explain that this is a large build. This is huge.
This is a complex project. Yes.
Right. So what I did was I've got 5 or 7 chapters in a textbook that I'm working on. There's only 7 chapters in the book, and the chapters are not big. They're small and thin. It's an open source textbook from the state of Michigan.
Right.
And I told the AI, I said, we need to build a simulation for chapter 5 going into chapter 6. And so it came up with something. And I said, I kind of like what your thoughts are here, but let's do this. What, instead of changing up different scenarios for 3 chapters, let's make one scenario that is set in the same place and kind of arcs over all 3 because it's the same group just making different decisions. So why don't we really get the kids a chance to feel what a Congress is like? By having them meet and stay and get invested in the different areas of the United States as it goes from colony to nationhood. And of course, being the wonderful golden retriever that it is, it went, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. So what I did was I started saying, these are the things I want. I want it to look like this. And I started putting things together and I'm feeling really good. I'm thinking, man, I got a pretty good, simulation going here. And then I said, all right, how can we tighten this up? And it came back with 12 things that I had completely not thought of. It's like, oh yeah, that's important. Yeah, we probably should do that. So I went through and I said, let's do it. I want to do this this way. And so back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, about 45 minutes. You know, I did things like, all right, you know, this is now tight. What are we missing? What are the holes? I said, well, you completely ignored this issue. It's like, oh, I didn't think of that either. All right, let's work on that. So we worked on that piece. And finally, I kept doing this, reiterate, till we got down to the end. I says, look, I'm ready to build, but if you want, we could do this. Yeah, I do want to do that because I don't want to go back and do this again. So yeah, let's do that. And then, we go back to get done working that out. And I say, all right, now what I miss or what is something we should add that we've not even thought of yet? And it comes back and says, well, you know, we could do this. It's like, yeah, we could. I said, okay, build that in. Let's work this in. So we worked it out, and about 45 minutes after going back and forth, it said, no, I think this is good. I'm ready to build. It was getting to the point where it was annoyed that I was making so many changes. It was kind of like pushing me to actually do the build. Like, let's stop talking about it. Let's start building. No, let's stop talking about it. Let's start building. So I said, all right, build it. And then I should have said, I need, calculate how long this will take to build and build it. That's what I should have said. But I just said, build it. And then I went and I ran some errands in the car. I grabbed dinner. I came back. It was still working. So I went out and did some other things around the house. It was still working. I opened another ChatGPT window and I said, all right, I want to work on this part of the curriculum. And I worked on it for a couple hours and I came back to the page and it's still, and it says thinking. But I can type into the thing. And so I thought, well, I'll just ask it a question. I said, hey, you know, what's your ETA? And it gave me a status update and it said, well, this is where I'm at in the project. I've done all this. Now I'm working on this piece for you. I'm sorry. I will leave you alone. And it wrote back. It said, okay, back to building. And it went back to building. And we got done. So I did this about 6:21 and I got done at about 11:30. And that's when I started looking at it and start going, all right, now I got to go through the documents and start. And then I had to fix formatting because you always have to fix formatting. I started doing that and I had it done about 12:30. And I like it. It turned out really nice. And it put in a lot of things. Now I've done something like this. Now this, you have to understand, this is a 3-part simulation. One for between chapters 5 and 6, 6 and 7, and then at the end of 7, with a summative assessment and all of the things built in from the very front, so that the summative assessment at the end has all these little tracker things that the kids have done, so they can use that on the summative assessment as long as they've been doing the work throughout each of the simulations. And it was its idea to think of that. And I was like, oh, I should have thought of that because that's a really good idea. And it went through and it built all that stuff. And then it built it. I mean, it looks nice. It's not bad looking. And it's got a teacher document that says, hey, teacher, here's the big picture. And here's everything you need for each step along the way. And then one of the things I had told the AI, I said, you know, kids need to learn a little parliamentary procedure. So we need to give a little cheat sheet and we need to build in, you know, like when we talk about sentence stems, we need to build in how they're going to speak and how they're going to run the meeting. And it did. Built it all in there, put in the prompts, put in the sentence starters. It has all that wonderful stuff in there. And so I'm kind of excited to roll it out and see what other people say.
It looks very interesting. I skimmed through most of it this morning. I'll go back and read it more carefully a little bit later. But yeah, it looks good. And in this, so this wasn't 5 hours of your attention. This was 5 unattended hours.
Right. This was 5 hours out somewhere, and then it came back, and it gave me a whole list of. It gave me links, said, here's this document, here's this document, here's this document, here's this one. And then it gave me all PDFs of the same documents. Yeah. It says, here's a PDF form, here's a doc form. was like, cool.
I just, it's funny because it reminds me of when early on when I was but a young pup and headed off to college and did some work, we had to use a mainframe. So you had to send things off to go run and come back, right? And sometimes you'd knew that it was going to take a while. So you'd send it off and you'd go, all right, let's go get lunch and come back. And it's like everything old is new again, right?
Yeah, I did. It made me think of punch cards. Matter of fact, I went online to see if I could find some old punch cards just for fun. Yeah, just to say, now, kids, we used to do things this way. It's interesting. It's interesting that you can send it off to do that big, thick, long process and then have it come back and go, all right, give me more.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And is it okay to share what the curriculum you're working on is, or would you rather not?
Sure. So. The elementary does not listen to the show.
The funny thing is I was looking through this, and I while you have this at a fifth grade kind of thing, I could see where this would be useful in middle school. Mm-hmm. As well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things that, you know, that just skimming, there's things I'd tweak, but it was like, oh, this would work in middle school. Wow. So
one of the things I did in my prompting is I built in, the other thing is this thing is starting to know me very well. I built up a workflow, right? I built up a routine as to how I want things done.
Yeah.
And it's learned it and it knows what I want in the certain order I want it. As I'm building from chapter to chapter, I'm building in a certain structure. Start with this, then do this, then do this, then do this. And so it's anticipating what I'm going to do next. As a prediction machine, it should be good at that. And I find it doing that and becomes, as I work more through this project, the work becomes easier because it's anticipating certain things. Like it's anticipating that I'm building in middle-level pedagogy into this because they're fifth grade, they're pre-adolescent, they're needing some of those things that, you know, are hallmarks of middle level education. And so let's build those things into it. Let's see if they rise to the occasion. So my guess is they probably will look at this and go, oh, I've never thought like this. We could do this. This could be cool. So that's how we did. I intentionally built middle school things into it.
Yeah. Just good stuff, man. All right. So one of the things that happened for me this last week was one of the other tech directors posted into the group. What do you do when one of your techs is out for a month and going to be out for 2 to 3 more weeks at least? Mm-hmm. And it's a small district, small school, which basically all of the schools in Maine are pretty small, but it's a small group. And there's like, there's the tech director, a network admin, and I think there's 2 or 3, support specialists. And they've got like 5,000 devices because, you know, I don't know. It's probably 500, but feels like whatever. I don't know, though, because when you start counting devices, you got to count. You can count like printers, fax machines, servers. You can get your number can get up there pretty good. But anyway, the person posted, the other tech director posted this, and there was an absolute outpouring of lots of other people going, yep, been there. You basically do the best you can. You know, there's times when you're going to have to tell people, look, this is what we're going to prioritize. And then there was... there's a tech director who's like, yeah, we lost one of my people. And the superintendent said, hey, can we replace that person with a 10-hour contract kind of thing? And the doctor was like, no, you can't. It doesn't work that way. And then there was another tech director who was posting they had to explain to somebody, they had to train somebody that when you send an email with an attachment, you do not lose the attachment. The person was like, I know, but if I send it to them, how do I save a copy? And it's like, wow, the technology understanding is fundamental. Technology understanding is still pretty low. And that gets really frustrating because I've always expressed this in the can't you just category, right? Mm-hmm. People go, can't you just ba 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 ba? It's like, no, it's not. No, there's a lot of work that goes on. And I think that really doesn't get understood very well. So I think there's still a lot of room for people to understand how much work goes into the technology to make it work and work reliably and accurately. Another thing that happened this week was one of the organizations that does technology kind of statewide. Mm-hmm. Their director got hacked. I don't know how, but they ended up sending out an email from this person, and it was legitimately from this person. However, and it was an invitation to a birthday bash. And the account was accurate. But if you hovered over the birthday bash, the link went to .ru, which is Russia.
Yeah.
And apparently, what they were doing is they had you fill in your username and password. Mm-hmm. And then you were also presented with a CAPTCHA. So what appears to be doing is they are getting you to solve the CAPTCHA for another hack. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're getting you to legitimize this. And so we were talking about this and I cracked up because almost all of us have multi-factor authentication turned on for most people. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually a few employees that don't have MFA turned on, multi-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. And because for a variety of reasons, and one of the other tech directors was expressing frustration, and apparently this tech director was like, yeah, one of my employees fell for it. So I went over and was talking to him, and it was a coach. It was an athletic coach kind of thing. I was a swim coach because I don't think I'm not going to get anywhere near which district it was. So it was a swim coach, and they're like, I'm talking to the swim coach, and they're like, you know, you fell for this, and we're gonna have you turn on multi-factor authentication, have you turn on MFA, and the person's like, I don't have time for that. And I looked at her, looked at the swim coach and said, you know, you probably need to go to your bank and switch your and redo your password, because I'm going to guess that you reuse your passwords and now there's an actor in Russia that has your username and password. And the swim coach's face turned white.
Oh.
And it was like, oh. So then the tech director says, and this proves to me that most tech directors are not middle school focused. The tech director says, I'm just going to MFA everyone.
Whoops.
Which I found hilarious. And most of the other tech directors did not. And then I explained why I found this hilarious and kind of, I kind of rephrased it a little bit and mm-hmm. said it with a little bit of attitude. And then everybody was like, yeah, it's hilarious. So, so that became my, that was my quote of the day. One of the days last week is I'm just going to MFA everyone. It's like, yep. So, so be secure out there, folks. You know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So an MFA is not like automatically super secure either, but it is a whole lot better than nothing.
And yeah, it so,
is. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see here. And then we have super congratulations to Sean, who is a finalist in the H5P third annual awards.
Yep. Didn't win, but that's okay.
No, no.
Top five. And, I'll take top five in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And since Sean had asked me to submit it, because I said there's a couple things you should submit. Sean, submit them. So Sean submitted one, right?
Right.
And
that
then
one didn't make
and
it.
Then you went to submit another one, and you hit a roadblock.
I did. It said, "Nope, sorry, that email address has already submitted one." And I was like, "Oh, you only get one," which I find ironic because there were people who made it to the finals who had submitted two. Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you asked me to submit it for you.
Right. I said, let's work around it here. And
which
we'll
I
put
did.
It in as a group. Yep.
And I put it in as Middle School Matters.
That's true. Yes.
And this was in the innovative use of H5P content types. Right?
Ooh. Yep.
And so they, but, and the good thing is they did put your name on the website.
That's true. They did.
Cause I did, I don't remember what forms I filled in, but, so it has your name on it. Unfortunately, they sent the badge to me with my name on it. And I'm like, why? You got Sean's name there. It should be Sean's name. So so anyway, there's an award. It's yours. It should be yours. But it's kind of attached to me as well. So
well, they sent me one. I got it. I just have to go and pick it up. I have it. And I think it's because we submitted as a group. The first one was individual. The second one was group, so we could submit it.
Okay.
Get it submitted. Right. So, yeah, and I have no problem with having you get it either. Let's make that official here and now for all time. According to the video on the awards ceremony, I am Sean from Michigan. So that's all. That's and I'm
Sean
at the 17 or 18 minute. Yep, I'm at the 18-minute mark in the video. So if you go to the website and you watch the award ceremony, Niels is in his tux, and I am Sean from Michigan.
Okay.
I will say this. Oliver Tack, who we've talked about before, he's a H5P ambassador, does a lot of programming for H5P. He said this was the hardest category to judge. They had so many good entries. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And the guy who won did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not watched the video yet. I might do that at some point today when I'm working on stuff, but we'll see. The Tigers don't play until late tonight, so.
There you go. Yeah.
on the West Coast.
You know, it's a pregame show. Just watch it's about 45 minutes. It's an award show, so don't, you might fall asleep during the middle of it, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've got that, and I'm glad that they sent you the badge as well, so you can click and put your name on there as well.
Yeah.
So, so I have a badge for knowing smart people.
Hey, a lot of times that's exactly more important than anything else.
Yeah. Well, speaking of knowing smart people, there's some smart people on the social web.
Yeah, and I'd love to be able to pronounce this word and this name, but it's QT Guru or Okiowo, who posted that Moodle has commissioned a new marketplace to sell your paid plugins. That's one revenue stream useful to LMS developers. That's true. Mm-hmm. And if it wouldn't be too expensive to develop, then it might be useful just to put some things out there and say, I'm running into this one little workflow problem. It's a pain point. Is there something, a plugin you could write to help eliminate that pain point? And because I got one coming up in 5.1 that I'd like to see have done before 5.1 gets put on the Wayne Risa server. Ron King, I know we talk about it, but every now and then, you know, Ron King is one of our early listeners. And I suspect he knows Eileen. I just have a feeling. Yeah.
That's a question. Does Ron know Eileen?
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it'll ever get answered, but he posted a picture from the Pacific Northwest, and it's really nice. It's a good picture. And so I shared it with you because he shared it online. MiddleWeb has a review integrating AI into the humanity of teaching. It's called the AI Assist by Nathan Lang Rad, which we've talked about here on this show beforehand. We talked about the Hale system for integrating AI into education. And so they also have a review. We've done a review here on the show. Take a check out that one. check out that one. So MiddleWeb is good stuff. They do a good job down there in North Carolina. Just not up on my Irish. Catrona ni Casata. That's not right. That's not right at all. And you have to go to the show notes and laugh your head off that I got that so wrong. Special event for history teachers in Drumcondra Education Center on April 18th. Mastering Source Analysis, Moving from Comprehension to Contextualization. It's a 3-hour workshop, and I believe it's at the Croke Park Museum, but I believe it's going to be online. So you don't have to be in Ireland in order to enjoy that one. And then Dana Bui, B-U-I, the ed designer at Blue Sky. Branching scenarios make for great assessments. Show the implications of choice. Ask questions that allow students to unpack those implications. Playing with H5P is a way to capture the students' rationale as they progress through a branching scenario. And that's what I'm doing next, is I'm building a branching scenario for the curriculum that I'm helping to develop. Because I want the kids then to be able to read something, answer a question if they get it wrong, reteach at a different level, ask a question if they get it wrong, reteach at a much simpler level, and keep reteaching until it gets to its most simplest form, and then, boom, go to the next thing. But if they've got it, got the concept, boom, they just go to the next thing. So I'm going to do this like half Christmas tree, right, where build out, come back, build out, come back, build out, come back. Or you can go straight down the trunk. Depending on what your needs are. If you don't need it, you just go straight down the trunk. If you do need it, you keep going up, coming back, going up, coming back. So that's my next goal, is to build that into the curriculum so that I can say, see how this is how I've accommodated my different kinds of learners.
It's an interesting graphic as well.
I hadn't thought
of that way, but that's...
So. Yeah, I didn't put the graphic in, but I did put a link to the graphic in there. I think that's the link. Anyway, daily updates on the Roman Empire. This actually comes from Facebook, and I thought this was interesting. It's a newspaper advertisement from 1865 of an 18-year-old man looking for a wife. And it says, "Chance for a spinster, a young man in Aroostook County." Say Aroostook County, Maine. That's your neck of the woods.
That's advertising. It's referred to as the county here, but yeah.
Oh, is it? The yep. County. All right.
Okay.
Advertising for a wife speaks of himself as follows. And then there's a whole, he's 18 years old. He's got a good set of teeth.
It's important to have a good set of teeth.
Oh, yeah. And he believes in Andy Johnson, the Star Spangled Banner, and the 4th of July. He's taken up a state lot, cleared it on his own, 18 acres last year, seeded 10 of it down. His buckwheat looks good. He's got 9 sheep, a 2-year-old bull, 2 heifers, besides a house and a barn, and he wants to get married. He wants to buy bread and butter, hoop skirts, and waterfalls for some person of the female persuasion during life. That's what's the matter with me. That's a quote. But I don't know how to do it, unquote. So there you go. When in doubt, just put it in an advertisement.
That's, yeah, you know, the want ads. That's something that the youngins don't really know about, but
I wonder if his name's Craig.
Craig made a lot of money off that.
Yeah.
Off of going around the WAN ad.
It's true. The WAN ads were a wonderful resource in the time of newspapers.
They are.
I worked it as best I could for you, Troy. I really did spin it right towards you.
Sorry.
Throwing up the softball here.
You got me kind of distracted on something in my head.
Well, you know what he's doing. He's doing some very important structural things in the show notes.
I'm not being
very helpful.
We talked last week about, I think it was last week, we talked about grade retention. I think we talked about it a little bit. And there's an additional article on how grade retention is bad education policy. So this is a little, it's a shorter article, but they talk about the retention illusion. And so if you're looking for information, I think this is a good place to start. And essentially, he ends up with third grade retention has become politicized. It's viewed as an essential element of science of reading, which is not scientifically based, but does generate profit potential. And that it's estimated that nationally, 5 to 9% of students are retained every year. I don't believe that's true in your district.
I can tell you our number in
your school.
it's zero. We don't retain school. Anybody. You can miss 120 days and still move on.
Which translates to over 2.4 million children annually. Yep. So, what's been widely known since at least the 1990s is that retention is harmful for students. And so there's lots of there's several different references to different research materials, so you can take a look at that as well. And of course, the touch point for this is the same article research that we talked about last week, but there's some additional information in there as well. So you can feel free to check that out. All right. You know, one of the things that we keep talking about is teaching kids to think critically and to be aware of, like, what's happening and what's real. And the idea of the AI slop is real, and it's getting more prevalent and sometimes harder to catch. Like I said, I've been doing some things where it's like, if I didn't have at least a little bit of a background, I would have been like, okay, let's do that. And that would have been a bad choice. But when I was working with the AI, it sounded very confident. It sounded right. But when I read through, it's like, ooh, no, 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 no. You don't want to do that. So one of the things I think we need to do is, again, teach kids to think critically, give them a background. And tech learning has some fact-checking sites for students, and I would add teachers, that I think are kind of useful. I'll go through a couple of them here. One is DebunkBot. And DebunkBot is a process from MIT, I think it is. And when I did it, what it is you give it a belief or a controversial topic, something like that. And it does do a little bit of a survey. It asks you a couple of questions, like, why are you doing this? What is your end goal with that? So I just did, you know, the controversial topic is the 2020 election. And I said that I was doing it as a teacher, I think. You can pick, like, just to check out this tool, to talk to friends and family. There's like four or five different things you could do. But I went through and it did the thinking thing. And so one of my observations with this one is there is a bit of a process that you go through. There's a couple of questions that you're answering and a survey. And then it is not an instantaneous answer. It didn't take like hours or anything. It took a couple minutes, but those couple minutes can get people to bail very quickly too. So, but then you get a summary of like what that controversial belief is. And what it's ruling, and then you can respond to that and keep the chat going. So that's one. Reuters has a fact check, and this one is kind of neat because it has some things that are there already. So if you're kind of looking for controversial topics, that could be appropriate for middle school without being like super controversial, because, you know, you have to be careful here. They have a whole bunch of them that are already listed. So you can look through those, and the kids can look through these as well. Again, with controversial topics, be careful. Because because you can get into no win situation real quick with these, but so be aware of those as well. There is a similar one from AP that's called AP Fact Checker, and they are very similar. They have a whole bunch of topics laid out already that you can click on and see, you can find out what's going on with those. There is Control F, or actually CTRLF, and this is a digital media literacy, and this is out of Canada. These are friends from south of Sean. Your friends to the south, right? And they have a whole bunch of, they have some materials that can help teach AI literacy and verification skills. They have classroom resources. So you can take a look at that as well. Then there's the Quote Investigator. You know, if you see like, if you see some quote, Lincoln gets credited to a lot of quotes that aren't from Lincoln. But if you see a quote, you might want to head over to Quote Investigator, which will help you find out if the quote is accurate or not. If it really came from somewhere else, you can find out kind of the history of some of those things. And then finally, we have Checkology. And this one I thought was neat. I'd like to spend a little more time with this one because you need to register for it. But if you do register, you get hundreds of free resources like quizzes, posters, downloadable lesson plans, classroom slides. And it's designed for grades 5 through 12. So you can check out Checkology. You can even support them if you want to donate. But this is part of the News Literacy Project. And so, you know, news literacy and identifying misinformation is kind of important. All right. Sean, you can occasionally, in the past at least, you've been interested in some fonts. And over at fontbolt.com, they have a bunch of famous fonts or things that are close to that. So, so like if you're looking at a famous album, mm-hmm. or if you're looking at like the Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. which is a classic TV series. They have the Twilight Zone. They have Twilight Zone book, which is similar, with Twilight spelled TWYLITE. Mm-hmm. And they have Humus, which is, and you can download the fonts. So they have movie fonts, they have music fonts, they have game fonts, they have logo fonts. Hmm. So like Minecraft, they have a couple of different fonts there. So like always, check and make sure that that it is allowed to be used. They usually have a little thing underneath, like with the Minecraft, it says it's available free at FontBolt. Try our text generator to create cool graphics for Minecraft font. Then you can save the font image to your device. But I thought it was fun if you're a font geek or just looking for some things to kind of jazz up the some of your work. You can take a look at that. All right, we know that Australia has banned social media, kids from social media from age 15, I think. Austria is jumping on the bandwagon. This is a movement that is kind of worldwide, as more and more places are banning kids from social media. And given the couple of recent court cases, some of the social media sites might be interested in banning kids from their platform as well. But Austria is going to ban kids under 14 from joining social media. It's not quite clear when that's going to happen, but they are looking at doing that. So the Austrian government plans to accompany the ban with an effort to beef up schools' teaching of how to use media and deal with artificial intelligence. So I think you're going to see more and more of this coming. So you be aware of that. One way you can keep up with what's coming is to head over to middleschoolmatters.com. You can read everything we talked about this week and frequently more. And there's a whole slate of back catalog that you can search for and find as well. And you frequently get our perspective on these things and how they work and what they're doing. So we would love it if you'd head over there, pick up some of the show notes. There's a link there where you can reach out to us. Let us know why Sean is the world's greatest co-host. We would, of course, love it if you go to the podcast catcher of your choice. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your frenemies about the show, and get them to listen as well. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.